My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's, the law firm, Cundori and Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We'll get to Jay Gruden in just a moment. On G&D, we've been making sense of the Commanders dropping a 37-20 opener in Tampa Bay to the Bucs all day long. By the way, Danny, we haven't really talked much about the game from Tampa's perspective, what with us doing a radio show in
here in D.C., yeah,
the nation's capital. Baker Mayfield was incredible.
What a comfortable day for him.
Now, I don't know how much of that was just Washington's defense making life real easy.
Some of it.
One of those rocking chair days, as we call it.
Uh-huh.
24 of 30 for 289 and 4. But Baker Manning, I mean, Baker Mayfield, man, oh, man, was he good. They continue their trend from last year where if you play them, you are an MVP candidate.
You're a good daily fantasy start. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, and Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, first of all, welcome back. We are thrilled to have you back on the air with us for another season. We'll be doing this all season long on Mondays, normally at 5 p.m. So welcome back aboard. We're pumped, man.
It's exciting to be back with two legends.
You're correct about that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's exciting to have you back as well. How much should we take out of a week one game? Because I've been fooled many a time by the first game of the season.
Yeah, that's it's tough. You know, you can't get too high after a win. You can't get too low after a loss. There's some major concerns though after one game, and I talk about the defense. You know, not a lot of pressure. The coverage was poor. They lost coverage a couple times. Took some poor angles tackling the ball carriers. You know, Tampa Bay's got a decent offense, but they're not that good now. I mean, there's no reason to put up 37 against Washington's defense. So that's number one concern. And obviously, number two, we just got to get Jaden some reps, get him some work. And I think over the course of the season, he'll continue to get better and better. And once they trust him a little bit more in the pocket, they trust the left tackle a little bit more, they'll be able to do some more things down the field. But right now, it's Chinese fire drill damn near. He's scrambling for his life and just running for yards. So they got to get him protected and let him work his magic. And hopefully that'll happen coming up if they get some more weapons around Terry McLaurin.
Did you see anything that made you think maybe they didn't trust him in the pocket or that they were calling things to help themselves because of the left tackle?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams were like that this year. I had never seen so many bubble screens and screens of the running back as I have in 1 week of football. I think a lot of people are a little bit concerned about the pass rush and their offensive line. They just want the quarterbacks to get through a game, get some easy completions for them, let the guys run after the catch. I think there's some element to that. Rookie quarterback, let's get some easy completions for them. Hopefully our playmakers can make some plays outside on the perimeter.
What did you see from Daniel specifically, Jay, just in terms of his performance? That first throw behind the line of scrimmage for a loss of 15 yards, you know, just kind of an inauspicious debut. But how did you feel about him in general?
Yeah, he's done it twice this year already. He did it the first preseason game. Eckler threw it over his head on a screen pass and did it again. You don't see that very often in a whole career, let alone twice in three games. But yeah, he's just got to calm down and relax a little bit. The one thing about Jaden, you know, I studied him a lot in college. At Arizona State, he looked to run more than he did to throw, and I think he went back to his old ways a little bit. And a lot of that was the pass rush was there, and a lot of the receivers weren't getting a lot of separation either. So this is an LSU where he's got Brian Thomas Jr. and his other receivers getting open all downfield. These guys weren't getting open a whole lot, so he had to run. So hopefully, moving forward, we get some completions where he can see the field a little bit, get some balls on basic crossing routes or high crosses or shallow crosses or something where the receivers can get open and get some separation.
16 runs in the game. 11 were just scrambles, and then 5 were designs, a couple read options, naked on a fourth down, on a boot, and then there were 2 powers that they ran as well. All 5 of the design runs were in the second half, but again, 11 of the 16 were scrambles. Just your thoughts on that number of runs for him.
Yeah, well, the scrambles are going to happen. He's going to have 5 or 6 of those a game through the entire season. There's no doubt about that. That's what he does. That's what he does well. I wouldn't limit that. I wouldn't be upset at that at all because he's going to make some big plays outside the pocket. I'm a little concerned with the design runs inside the tackles. You know, that he's not a very big guy. They ran one weak side inside zone with him just right between the tackles, and then the last touchdown he ran was an option, and he cut up right into the defensive lineman. And that is a dangerous play for a quarterback to stick his foot in the ground and run right behind the center guard area, just get smashed. Of course, he got in for a touchdown, but I don't like those. So let's get him outside the pocket. Let's do some zone reads and things of that nature where he can avoid contact and get to the sideline if he has to.
So I'm all for these scrambles too, because generally, you know, especially if he's pressured, I think he was pressured 12 times in the game, you might as well get out of there, use your speed, and get away. But going back and rewatching already, you know, the 16 scrambles from the aerial view, like there are times where he's got options. And my big thing is, and I know it's one game, so I'm not saying like this is going to be the case all year, but I'd like to get to a point, and I don't know how you coach this, Jay, where he's like evading and dashing out of the pocket to reset to be a thrower. Like go get into space, run into space and reset at the sticks, and now look downfield and 2 guys have uncovered and plastered, and you can now pick up a big chunk. Whereas it seemed to me like as soon as he pulled the ball down, it was kind of a one-dimensional thought of running.
Yeah, like I said, that was what he was at Arizona State. At LSU, he honed it in a little bit, really worked his receivers. And Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. got drafted in the first round because of their talent and because of Jaden Daniels making those throws down the field and avoiding rushes and keeping his eyes down the field and being a passer, not just a runner. He resorted back to some of his habits. I think this first game jitters a little bit. Maybe saw some green grass. He did make some productive runs outside the pocket on scramble drills. But I think as the season goes on, the more he gets to play, the more opportunities he'll give to his receivers when he does break contain. But he is a dangerous runner. I mean, you can't argue the fact that he had 70 or 80 yards rushing. I mean, that's pretty good. But eventually, we want to see him throw the ball down the field to Terry and some of these other guys.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Jay, you mentioned last year to us that some of the concepts or designs of in terms of the routes and things didn't make a ton of sense just conceptually to you. I know it's only week one, but I know you mentioned there weren't a ton of guys open. Just give me your thoughts on what you saw week one here from Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I think that he was being very protective of his quarterback and obviously his left tackle. So he was pretty simple. Not a lot of motions, not a lot of unique formations or personnel groupings. He was pretty standard in a set. Let the quarterback call the plays and just get out there and try to perform at a high level with simple basic play concepts. You know, eventually, hopefully, they'll get to moving some people around, use some motions, get Terry in different locations and try to work him a little bit more. But I think week one, I think this is a building block type of year for a young quarterback. You can't throw too much at him week one. So it's going to be a very limited arsenal of weapons or plays week one, and then hopefully week two will grow. Week three will grow even more, and then week four will continue to grow. So week one, I didn't expect to see a whole lot, but we'll see how he does week two and three.
Jay, they didn't use McCorn, who you mentioned, a lot, and Austin Eckler only had a couple catches kind of before the end of the third quarter, and that's just something I just sort of can't really live with. How do you combine those sorts of concepts that you're talking about, trying to make it simple and easy? What's simpler and easier than getting the ball to your two best playmakers, in my opinion at least, on offense? What did you make of the fact that those guys weren't really involved until late?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, and when Eckler did get the catches, he had like a 30-yard catch and made people miss. So there's definitely a feeling out period with your offensive coordinator and your roster. And once you see these guys make plays on game day, you're going to utilize them more and more as the season goes on. Wow, Austin still does have a little juice left in him. Let's get him out in space. Let's work him on some option routes and things of that nature that are easy for the quarterback to read. Let's get these other guys the ball somehow. You know, I don't know who else we're throwing the ball to. I still think we need another weapon outside of Terry. I don't know who that is. But obviously, Eckler's pretty good. Ertz has lost a step a little bit. So, you know, the tight end presence isn't that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Glaring either. So somebody's got to step up and make some plays outside of Terry and Eckler.
Two things, Jay, that I want to get your thoughts on as a play designer and a play caller. And as an offensive mind, number one would be just lining up a receiver in the same spot all the time. Terry McLaurin was on the left, like flanked out on like 42 of his 49 plays. I think he was in the slot 6 times, but he was only on the right side of the formation 3 times. And I think he only went in motion once. And I juxtapose that, and I know you kind of referenced the motion thing, but I juxtapose that with Cooper Kupp, who was in motion on 30 of 42 snaps for Sean McVay, and caught 12 catches last night on plays where he was in motion before the snap. One of the longtime knocks on Kingsbury's offense has been, like with DeAndre Hopkins, he always lined up on the far left of the formation, never moved around, was never in motion. I mean, do you perceive that as an issue? How often would you use motion in your offenses? And, like, what do you make of, if I was to go back, like, did you always have Pierre lined up in the same spot, or is that uncommon?
I think it's very uncommon. You know, when you have a good player, you got to move them around because it's very easy for defenses to, A, line up their best corner on that side every time or cloud them every time. But when you move them around left to right, put them in a slot, put them at number 2 in trips, number 3 in trips on the inside, now all of a sudden your corner's got to travel if you want to play man. It's hard to cloud that side of the field all the time. There's a lot of different things you can do with the receiver. When you line them up in one spot, you become very bland and plain. And he does have a history of doing that. But he's going to have to grow a little bit, I think. He's got to move Terry. He's too good to just line up outside the numbers on the left side 42 times out of 49. There's got to be different ways to use him because he is a great football player, and he can do a lot of different things in different locations.
35% pre-snap motion rate on pass plays in week one, which was, I think, like seventh lowest in the league. But that's been a staple. Like in the 4 years in Arizona, it was one of the things Cliff was known for. How about that part of it? Just like for you, what ways did you use motion and just kind of on an elementary level, kind of talk to me like I'm dumb here, which I am.
Yeah, we are pretty
dumb.
What would be his
logic on that? Like if I was to ask him, why don't you use motion more? What would he say?
Well, I think week one with Jaden Daniels, when you use motion, that's more terminology in the play call. And sometimes the play calls can be wordy and as it is. You know, I think Cliff is known for using one word play calls on just about everything, and everybody kind of knows where to line up. They line up in the same spot all the time, so he makes it simple for the quarterback. Hey, American Airlines means this, and everybody knows what to do. You know, that's all well and good, but eventually you got to branch off and get these guys moving around and motions and all that stuff. So to utilize motions and formations is critical for pre-snap recognition for a quarterback. If somebody travels with the receiver, you know it's man-to-man. If you put a tight end outside the tackle box and the safety goes out with him, you know it's man-to-man. So there's a lot of different things for the quarterback, knows where to go with the ball, knows which matchup he wants to work. Maybe audibles to a play. You know, you see a split safety, maybe audible to a run, maybe you get into your favorite cover two or quarter beater. There's a lot of good utilization of motions and formations that give quarterbacks pre-snap knowledge, which is critical for young players.
Jay, and this is always so hard, you know, we're talking about one game and we never know who to ascribe blame or credit to in every situation, but just in general, what did you make of Dan Quinn's first game as head coach here in Washington?
I mean, it's his first game. You know, I think obviously people have been critical of not going for two, which I think he made a mistake there clearly at the end of the third quarter. You got to go for two. Anytime you have a chance to cut a lead down to one possession as opposed to two possessions, you got to do that. That's an easy one. But overall, you know, I just a little disappointed in defense, some of the angles they took, some of the coverages they blew. This is not a very difficult defense for players to learn, and you got to put some accountability on the players as well. They got to play better. They got to tackle better. But overall, you know, when you lose like that to Tampa Bay, who, you know, they're a good football team. They went to the playoffs, obviously, but I don't think they're 37-20 better than Washington. So a lot of learning to do, but Dan's a good football coach, a good motivator. Hopefully he'll get them going.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I'm trying to remember when you were here, what was like the worst it got from a place kicking standpoint? Were you ever like on a carousel with kickers, or did you just have to replace one here or there?
We had Kai Forbath early, who's a very accurate kicker, one of the most accurate kickers, you know, around, but his kickoff skills weren't very good, and we couldn't kick long field goals, so we went to Hopkins, and I don't remember really going anywhere else other than Hopkins.
Yeah, D-Hop was around after that, so he didn't deal with it.
Hop was a very good kicker. We got lucky. We found him, you know, we worked him out, and he ended up beating out Forbath, so we were fortunate not to have to go through that. And we got Tressway pretty early, too, and he was our punter, so. And our long snapper was Sundberg, so we didn't have to mess with the specialist. That was critical. That's something you don't want to play around with. That's a pain in the ass.
And to that point, that's where they are. I mean, with McManus counted, and they cut him obviously with the allegations that came up. They've been through five kickers since free agency. Now they cut McManus, and if you just start a training camp, it's been now four kickers. They had Ramiz Ahmed signed and cut. Riley Patterson signed or cut. They traded for Cade York, who they've since cut today, and now they're bringing in Austin Seibert. I guess first, the thought on maybe after one game getting rid of a kicker, a complicated situation because they did it because they'd lose a seventh-round pick if he kicked in two games. That was the condition on the conditional pick, so they had to make the decision this week if they wanted to move forward or not, and he went 0-2. But just in general, like you mentioned what a big deal that is as a coach, like the fact that they're on this carousel now and how uneasy that makes you.
Well, it's very difficult, but it's just look at the game when they had 4th and 10 and they tried a 56-yard field goal with the young kicker for the kicker, and he missed it. You know, and the coach gets yelled at for not going forward or punting. You know, most teams in the NFL, they make 56-yarders. Heck, I mean, it's routine for a lot of these guys nowadays. So you got to find that kicker for a coach's state of mind and your offense, your defense, everybody. And when you're running your kicker out, nobody knows if he's going to make the kick. It's not fun for anybody, and there's going to be a lot of close games coming forward, you know, in the division with the Giants. This will be a close game, probably come down to a field goal, and they need the kicker to make these kicks.
Jay, what would your message to the coaching staff be? I know players, you know, you get in front of the players, you're probably going to present positivity here after they're probably pretty down after week one. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, maybe you would chew them out. But what's your message to the coaching staff here as they kind of get ready to implement this week and, you know, teaching points, et cetera? What would you be saying to your assistants now?
Well, I think you just got to find ways to motivate our players to play harder and play smarter. You know, there's too many coverage blow ups, you know, the corner route for a touchdown, the guy's wide open, the nickel drop coverage for some reason, just let his guy go to the corner for a wide open touchdown. Number one, you got to get the people in the building to get them motivated to play hard. And number two, you got to have a plan. And let's have the best plan you've ever had this week against the New York Giants. We got to get after the Giants' ass without a doubt. Let's coach our players up. Let's be positive and make sure that when they leave the building, they feel really good about the plan and where they're at physically and mentally.
Jay, I want to go around the league a little bit here in our last couple of minutes. First things first, Bryce Young was god-awful yesterday. 13 of 30 for 161 and two interceptions, and he was probably worse than the stat line. Is it too soon to say that Fetch ain't happening here?
You know, it's pretty early, but he hasn't really shown any redeeming quality that a quarterback has to show. The physical presence he does not have. He's very little. The arm talent, he's missing throws in the flat. He's missing throws deep. He's lollipopping some over the middle. He's not escaping pressure. There's really nothing that you can hang on your hat on right now that I've seen over the last year in one game. I mean, so I don't think it's too soon right now. Maybe it's time to give him a break. Let Andy Dalton, the veteran, play a little bit and see what happens.
Wow.
Bryce does not look like an NFL quarterback right now to me. You know, I know he's young. He's got a long way to go. I'm not giving up on him yet, but maybe it's time just to let him take a step back and let Andy play a little bit.
Caleb Williams had a dreadful debut for Chicago. How much of that did you get to see? What'd you make of his outing?
Yeah, it was bad. You know, they got a good team, too. They got good receivers now. There's no reason for that. I think Shane Waldron's got to do a better job of getting these guys opening in some positions and make some plays. Everything looked hard for a lot of teams. Giants, it looked hard. I mean, Panthers, it looked hard. Falcons, it looked like impossible to get a yard, you know, other than swing passes and toss sweeps. I mean, some of these teams really, really struggle getting the ball down the field. And, you know, I think early in the season, defenses usually are playing better. I think as once the season goes on and teams get a look at some of these defenses and coverages and how to attack them, they'll do a lot better. But it was a struggle for a lot of guys.
In that same Chicago-Tennessee game, Jay, I tend to think of you as, yeah, I mean, you got a temper like anybody else would, but I tend to think of you as pretty even-keeled, mild-mannered, you know, just like a good person that people want to be around. What would you have done to Will Levis after that, the worst interception I can remember? Like, what would you have said in that moment?
I mean, I don't think you can say anything. He knows it was the worst play. Will has to know. You can see after he flipped it out there, you see him hit the ground with his fist.
Well,
I'm an idiot. You know, it's just he's trying his ass off not to take a sack because linemen hate giving up sack stats. You know what I mean? Sometimes the best play is taking a sack, and it's the only play, and that's what he has to learn. He's a strong kid. He can get himself out of trouble, but there are times when getting sacked is okay. You know, you can't make those plays. And that's something you just got to tell them. Hey, that's a bonehead play. Can't let it happen again.
Another, can we pronounce this guy done? Deshaun Watson. Would you go to Jameis, or do they have to ride with him a little longer?
I'd have to, if Jameis was doing well in practice, and the one thing about Jameis, I know the players rally around Jameis. Players love Jameis for whatever reason. He's a great leader, and people like to play for him. So I would be not so quick to pull the trigger yet on Deshaun. Dallas is a pretty damn good defense. Micah Parsons is everywhere. Hit him like 8 or 9 times. Their tackles are both out right now. Let's let the tackles get back in there. Let them get healthy on the offensive line. Let's get our running game back on. Let's give them 4 or 5 weeks, see what happens. Get ourselves back in this race because, you know, They're game back. The only team that won in that division was the Steelers. So they have a good defense. They have a good running game. They got to get their tackles back and then give Deshaun a chance to make some plays.
I want to ask you about that Colts-Texans game. Wildly entertaining. Two very different quarterbacks, but kind of dueling it out. Richardson's stat line, not unbelievable, but just some of those plays. The jaw-dropping throws, like an off-balance fadeaway for 70 yards and you know, rumbling down the field like he's Maurice Jones-Drew in his prime, and Stroud just so surgical. I mean, give me your thoughts on that matchup.
Jones-Drew.
Right? I was just thinking of like a stout running back.
Mauricio Drew is 5'8", for God's sakes. This guy's 6'3". I think it looked a little bit different. But, yeah, he makes some unbelievable plays. Richardson, man, they're fun to watch. Him and Taylor together back there, they're going to be a handful moving forward. But, you know, Richardson's a little inconsistent accurate-wise, but he is a fun guy to watch. And then C.J. Stroud, he made some throws in clutch situations on the road in a hostile environment that you don't expect a second-year guy making. He's a stud. You know, Houston Texans are a damn good team with Mixon now running the ball, and they got Diggs who made 2 touchdowns. Nico made some big plays. You know, Tank Dell really didn't do anything, so they're both fun teams to watch, man. That's going to be an interesting battle towards the end of the Colts and the Texans, because I think the Jaguars are taking a step back. Trevor's struggling again, and obviously Tennessee's going to be out of it.
So I'm going to let you go. This will be the last one, but I want to put you on the spot here. Something that happened that you go, all right, this maybe is the sign of some things to come that was a surprise or a team that really stunk up the joint. And then something where you go, this is just a week one fluke. Like, there's nothing to see here. What comes to mind when you dive in on those two things?
Probably the Bengals. There's nothing to see here. You can't lose the Patriots at home, but whatever reason, they have started out like this with Zach Taylor every year. It's just mind-boggling to me. When you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow playing at home, and Ja'Marr Chase is playing, and they have other weapons. I mean, they have a couple decent backs. Zach Moss is a good back. For them to just get blasted by the Patriots makes no sense at all, but I can't panic because we still have Burrow. We have Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins will be coming back, and we have two good pass rushers, so let's let it play out. But these guys got to get a fire under their ass week one and two. I mean, they can't just wait till week five and expect to turn it on. What was the other question? Somebody that just...
Yeah, of the things that were really bad and discouraging, something that you go,
uh-oh.
I'll bet you there's more coming there.
I think Atlanta, to be honest with you, they didn't protect very well. They didn't get open at all. I mean, you watch that film, and it is horrific. There's not anybody open. The running game was okay. They have two really good backs, but they had a couple runs. But overall, the passing game looked absolutely horrific, and I don't know how that's going to change because they're the same receivers. They, you know...
What about Kirk? Really, he was in the pistol and the gun the whole time. Do you think they don't think he can drop back on his Achilles? Like, what did you make of him?
Well, if that's the case, then he shouldn't be playing, because Kirk's strength is his first, second down, play action pass, bootlegs, all that stuff, getting outside the pocket. That's what he's really, really good at. And he's really accurate with the quick game and his anticipation throws. But sitting back there in a pistol, that's not Kirk's game, in my opinion. You know, I think if he's damaged right now, if he can't run it, he can't even do a naked bootleg, then he should not be playing, in my opinion. And they got to get him back outside the pocket. You know, he can't just stand there, you know, between the tackles and wait for these guys to get open with T.J. Watt and all these guys rushing him, hitting him in the... He had one play where two defensive linemen hit him right in the face right when he let the ball on a sack. The guard in the center just totally whiffed. I mean, they got problems over there offensively, and I don't see that fixed in the foreseeable future.
Jay, week one in the books. Awesome, buddy. Always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
You see why we love having him on G&D every single week here on Grant and Danny.
On Air and on the Road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 HQ, Ted Britt Chantilly in Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Austin Eckler makes his first appearance in season with us. We'll talk to him every Tuesday at 5 all year long here on Grant and Danny. Very excited about that. Plus, the return of Commander Survivor. Somebody's going to get immunity. Somebody is going to get sent home and booted off the island. That's on Tuesday right here on Grant and Danny. Show starts at 2. Like they used to tell you in school, don't be late.
Mm-hmm.
Better be in your seat, ready to go when the show starts. Next, our buddy Toby Altizer.
Well, Tober time.
With Tobe for time.
Thank you for coming.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.